Thank you, Marla, for reading our scripture this morning. It's James 3, 13 to 18. Hopefully you're there now, page 855, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. We're in the middle of our series on the book of James, which is our foundations of faith. And when I began a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, looking at the book of James, I had said that there are three major themes: trials, wisdom, and wealth. And we have been talking over the last few weeks about trials and temptations, how we speak, what we say, how we act. And now we are making our way toward James's teaching on wisdom. And it dovetails into what we've been talking about previously. If we know how God is testing us, we'll know how to ask God for wisdom, who gives generously without finding fault. If we know how we're being tempted by the evil one, we can ask God for wisdom, who gives generously without finding fault. Last week we talked about our words and how they are the product of our tongues, which have been lit on fire by the fires of hell. This morning, instead of our words, I want us to look at what we are saying with those words. As we discuss this morning's text, we need to define the overarching theme of wisdom. According to Merriam-Webster, wisdom is, quote, an ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, or it is a good sense, or it is a generally accepted belief, or it is an accumulated philosophical or scientific learning. Wisdom is what we have learned and the ability to discern our thoughts and our relationships in accordance with what we know. Wisdom is the thoughtful application of our learning. As Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So today, we want to ask the question that James asks at the beginning of this passage. Who is wise and understanding among you? Or who is wise and learned among you? If we consider ourselves wise, if we consider ourselves not smart, but learned, there are things we will know as God blesses us with wisdom. The first thing that we see here is that James begins by showing us what true wisdom looks like. And as we look at these few verses, it's important for us to understand that there is a give and take here. That there is true wisdom and false wisdom. And James is going to talk about true wisdom, and then he's going to talk about false wisdom. He's going to talk about true wisdom and false wisdom. So we're going to be bouncing around in the passage depending on where we see the reference that he is making. True wisdom, according to James, is seen in our deeds that are done in humility of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, or the way he lives, which is good, by deeds done in the humility or meekness that come from wisdom. Wisdom shows itself in good behavior. True wisdom is a reflection of the proper way of life. Those that are wise are doing life right. We can look at people and say, they seem to have it all together. They seem to have it all figured out. They seem to be on the right path. They seem to know where they're headed. And that is partly because of wisdom. It's in the goodness of our lives, the proper way, the healthy way, the right way, the beautiful way of life. And like faith that James talked about earlier in chapter 2, wisdom is exhibited by what we do. You are not wise if you don't have wise practices. Doesn't matter what you know. It matters how you apply that. With meekness or with humility, with gentleness of spirit. True wisdom is humble. True wisdom is gentle. It is entwined within the fruit of the Spirit. That we have this kindness towards others. We don't use our application of knowledge to harm others. We don't take pride in our wisdom. We recognize it as a gift of the Holy Spirit from God. On the other hand, we see what true wisdom is not. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual and of the devil. So as opposed to good behavior, true wisdom is not displayed in bitter envy or jealousy or zeal, passion. This bitter envy or jealousy looks like a complete intolerance of other points of view. If you are wise in the ways of whatever your field is, and you are bitter, envious, jealous, you're going to show it by being unwilling to listen to anyone else who has a difference of opinion. This is the way it is. This is the truth. This is what I have determined is the best course of life. And if you are disagreeing with that, then you're wrong and you can fill in the blank. Ultimately, false wisdom, bitter envy, is seen in a desire to shape people by extreme. You're with me or you're against me. You're right or you're wrong. You're this or you're that. That there's no gray when people practice bitter envy. Or selfish ambition. The only other time this is used prior to James writing it here, it's not in the Bible. It is a quote by Aristotle. And it is a quote about corrupt politicians of his day who are seeking positions of authority for their own ill-gotten gain. That's what earthly wisdom will do. False wisdom will ask the question, what can I get out of this? And this is seen in a desire to split God's kingdom into little teeny earthly camps. And we need to be leery of people who group people as a us versus them. Earthly wisdom, the wisdom that is not from God, is an us versus them, a fortress mentality, a protect your own at all costs mentality. As Jesus says in Luke 6:43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Our nature is going to be revealed by our fruit. What wisdom we demonstrate is going to be seen by what we produce. So what is the nature of true wisdom? Well, if we look at verse 15, we see what false wisdom and its character. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Three characteristics going from neutral to bad to worse. The neutral term is earthly, from the ground. Now, a lot of good things come from the ground. Fruits and vegetables come from the ground. All sorts of nutrients come from the ground. The ground isn't of itself a bad thing. It just means that it is not heavenly. That it's somewhat, not in a negative way, inferior. It's just not as good. You can have a car, and you can have a tricked out, expensive Tesla. Maybe it's a great car. You can have a Volkswagen Beetle. It's just not as good. Not bad, just not as good. Wisdom, first and foremost, that is not from heaven, is by nature earthly, which means it's just not quite as good as heavenly wisdom. But that's not all James says. He also says that it is unspiritual, which is a negative term in James' writing. Non-spiritual, meaning it is based on nature, based on instinct, based on our base feelings. Wisdom is a gut feeling, a human endeavor in this argument. False wisdom comes from our human nature. And then, thirdly, of the devil. It's the only time this term is used in the New Testament. And it is negative in every aspect. It is instigated by Satan himself. So we have here Wisdom starts off as not heavenly, from the earth. We take our common sense, but then we don't infuse our common sense with our spiritual nature. We only use our physical, unspiritual nature, and that corrupts it subtly so that we are only thinking in a horizontal way, a bodily way, a natural way. And then from there, it is corrupted even further to be motivated by the whisperings of the enemy, so that we are doing the bidding of, at best, our basic nature, and at worst, the Antichrist, the Satan himself, the father of all lies. True wisdom, on the other hand, verse 17, the wisdom that comes from above, comes from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It is pure. First and foremost, it is unmixed, unadulterated, free of pollutants. It is unlike our worldly nature, unlike our worldly wisdom. It is uncorrupted. We receive it not from the ground, but pure from heaven above. Then it is peace-loving, irenic, which is a fancy word for saying longing for peace, desirous of peace. It is considerate. It properly administers justice. It is submissive, being reasonable and willing to listen. It is full of mercy and good fruit. It is faithful to what God desires. It is unwavering, impartial, opposite of double-minded. It is steadfast, and it is sincere. There is no masking it. There is no hypocrisy. There is no subtle nuance to godly wisdom. And my question is, which do we gravitate to? Which do we demonstrate? James tells us the nature of the tree. One is earthly and unspiritual and satanic. The other is heavenly and pure, merciful, and kind. But what kind of fruit does that sort of tree produce? In verse 16, we see the fruit of the false tree. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, where you have this wisdom from below, there you find disorder and every evil practice. False wisdom has its own harvest, produces disorder, restlessness, not just amongst those who practice it, but from those who are around it. When there is a culture of bitter envy and selfish ambition, people get restless. People get agitated. People get nervous. There is a disorder. There is chaos. And it produces every evil practice. It enables people to practice their most basic desires. And we have societal corruption. Everybody doing what they deem is best in their own eyes. That is earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom is found in verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Ultimately, I believe this is James' ultimate point. That wisdom that God gives us, if we ask, James has already said, anyone who lacks wisdom should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. And the wisdom that God gives, listed and enumerated in various adjectival terms, is seen in the peace that it produces. True wisdom produces what the Old Testament calls shalom, which is wholeness and reconciliation. Instead of disorder, instead of everyone running all over the place in 100 different ways, the wisdom of God brings peace so that we are whole. Instead of societal corruption, there is societal reconciliation. In a world of discord, peacemakers are needed. There is a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking, by the way. Peacekeeping maintains order. It's like watering a plant. I can maintain this plant. Someone else planted it. Someone else cultivated it. All I am doing is watering it. That's peacekeeping. Keeping this thing going. Making sure this thing survives. Peacemaking, on the other hand, is not just maintaining order, but developing order. It is the one who plants the seed and tends the bed and cultivates the sapling. We need peacemakers. People who are willing to go into the discord and sow seeds of righteousness and protect that tiny plant so that there will be an arbor of peace and joy. Sow peace, raising a harvest of righteousness. True wisdom produces righteousness, doing what is right. In a world of moral ambiguity, righteous people are needed. There needs to be someone who says, this is wrong, or this is right. And it is the seeds that are sown, the seeds of peace, the seeds of unity, the seeds of wholeness, the seeds of reconciliation that bring about the ability to harvest righteousness. We can't demand righteousness if we haven't already planted the seeds of peace. And that's James' point. There are two kinds of wisdom, just as there are two kinds of trees. I already quoted Luke 6. I want to quote Matthew 7:17, which is the opposite but the same. Jesus also said, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And just like there are two trees, there are two kinds of wisdom. False wisdom that comes from the devil, which is divisive and decadent. And true wisdom, which comes from God, which is unifying and uplifting. False wisdom will produce factions. True wisdom will produce peace. Our sermon in a sentence is this: biblical peace is cultivated in a climate of biblical wisdom. In this world, we are inundated with competing messages. Some are divisive and others are unifying. Some are exclusive and others are inclusive. Some are earthly and others are more high-minded. We will be wise, as God desires, when we pivot toward peace, that principle of shalom in the Old Testament. When we focus on the health and the wholeness and the well-being of our community before God and with one another. Practically, are we producing peace in our political discourse and through our social media posts? Or are we producing divisiveness? Are we encouraging an irenic spirit through our interpretations and our interactions? Or are we fostering decadence? Biblical peace is cultivated in a climate of biblical wisdom. So pray to God, as it says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And then use that wisdom to sow seeds of peace and harvest a crop of righteousness. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father,